بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
A presentation of Quran Sunnah educational programs. Visit us online at www.qsep.com.
الإيمان بالله.
Faith in Allah.
For Allah's Lordship, which is the second aspect of our faith in Allah, and for Allah's names and attributes, which is the third, and for Allah's worship, which is the fourth and final. These three parts, they are the aspects, the three parts of Tawheed also. That is to unify Allah, monotheism. Monotheism in Islam is of three types. To have faith in Allah's Lordship, to have faith in His names and attributes, to have faith in His oneness and worship. And they are in this sequence, in the first surah of Quran and in the final surah of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the first surah, which is in our Quran, which we recite in every unit of our prayer, in every rak'ah of our prayer, which is Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening of the book. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is the first verse. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rabbil Alameen means the Lord of all universe. The Lord of all creatures. So this is the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have the names and attributes. Malik Yawmiddin. Malik and Malik are attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Other attributes of Allah, which means the most merciful, the most beneficent. And then the third type, which is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It is you alone whom we worship, and it is you alone whom we seek support from. So they are in this sequence, in the beginning of Quran. And the same sequence will repeat in the last surah of Quran. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Again, رَبِّ النَّاسِ, Lordship, first. مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. Again, attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ownership. إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. The one who deserves to be worshipped. The God of mankind. The one whom should be who the mankind should worship only. So these three types are mentioned in the beginning of the Book of Allah and the end of the Book of Allah. Some scholars said this is for a very beautiful wisdom. Why did Allah start with His book with those three kinds of Tawheed and end His book with those three kinds of Tawheed? They said starting means you must start with Tawheed first. You cannot go and, for example, say, I want to make jihad, to make fasting, I like prayers, I do this, I do that. No, first you have to establish the Tawheed, the three types, all of them. Four types, actually, if we consider the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the existence of Allah, as I said, is already established. So this is why Allah started with this chapter, which emphasizes the three types of Tawheed. Why did He end His book with those three types? Because this is also a hint that you should end your life as a Muslim, as a monotheist, as someone who declares his worship for Allah alone. Otherwise, you have lost everything. if you die otherwise, you have lost everything. You have nothing in the hereafter. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the other surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اتقوا الله ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Don't die except as in the state of Islam. Submission to Allah, monotheism, worshipping Allah alone. So this is very important that we notice why Allah started his book with this and why he ended his book with that. And also in Quran, the best chapter in Quran is this opening of Quran. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned this in a true hadith. Also the best verse in Quran, because this opening is 7 verses, but the best verse alone in Quran is the verse which is called Ayatul Kursi, the chair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it includes nothing in it but the faith in Allah and in Allah's throne and chair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those types, so no one has the right to declare a fourth type, or a fifth type, or a sixth type, or a seventh type. Some innovators nowadays claim that we have tawheed of politics, tawheed of economics, tawheed of social sciences, tawheed of ice cream making. A'udhu billah. This is playing with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not only playing with the religion of Allah, it's playing with the foundation of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, you cannot pick up some action in Islam, no matter how important it is, and declare it as a kind of tawheed, because it's already part of tawheed. All good actions are branches of tawheed, as Allah have mentioned in Quran about the example of لا إله إلا الله is like a tree where its foundation deep in the ground and its branches reach heavens. So those branches are the actions in Islam. Prayer is a branch, fasting is a branch, and jihad is a branch, and zakat is a branch, and so on. And being good to the parents is a branch. Having good morals is a branch. These are branches of Islam. These are branches of La ilaha illallah. Because La ilaha illallah is not simply or merely a word. No. It's a testification which requires action. Requires action. We don't say the actions are fruits of faith. Because when you say fruits, this could mean that they are not obligatory. No. The actions in Islam, if they are obligatory, then they cannot be called fruits. They are part of faith itself. And there is no Islam without action. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said, anyone who says that Islam can be without actions is kafir. Is not Muslim. So if someone comes to you and tells you that Islam is easy, alhamdulillah, and it's only in the heart, and you don't have to do anything. If you do, Allah will forgive you. So don't do any action. Do whatever you like, whatever haram thing you can do it, no problem, because Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. You don't have to abide by anything. Just say by your tongue, just have a belief in heart. Anyone who says this, he is not a Muslim. He is not a Muslim. And therefore, we have to know that the emphasis on Tawheed, to start our life with it, to know Tawheed and act upon it, and not to break it in any way, not to nullify it in any way, such as those who supplicate to the so-called saints. This is nullifying the faith. This is going out of Islam. As soon as you commit one of those great acts of associating partners with Allah, you are out of Islam. Now, يعني, also there are some people, even though some of them are Sunnis and they follow the Sunnah, but they have made the wrong decision, the wrong thinking, saying that Hakimiyya is the fourth type of Tawheed. This is not true, because Hakimiyya falls in those three types that we mentioned: Lordship, names and attributes, and the unity of worship. They fall under each one of those three. And if you want to emphasize it, you emphasize it by showing that it falls under all of those three aspects of Tawheed. What more emphasis is is better than this? The great Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia before Sheikh bin Baz was Abdullah ibn Humayd, rahimahullah ta'ala. He had a booklet about Tawheed, and he mentioned that the three types of Tawheed, that is the Lordship, the names and attributes, the worship, they are supported by the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger, and the consensus of the scholars. That's why when his successor, Sheikh bin Baz, came and became the Grand Mufti, when they asked him about the category called Tawheed al-Hakimiyya, he said, this is an innovation. This has no basis in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, Al-Allama al-Mufassir, Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah. And similarly, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, when he was asked about students of Kuliyat al-Sharia from University of Kuwait, he said, anyone who says this is bringing an innovation. Therefore, the Muslims have to be clear on this, because there are writers who claim to be Sunnis and Salafis, and they say that this is only, this kind of categorization is not something which is in Quran and Sunnah. It is something for ijtihad, it changes. Tawheed changes from time to time. And this is a big disaster to propagate that Tawheed can be changed from time to time. If this is the situation, then what is Islam? Tawheed is the foundation. How could you claim this ugly statement? We come to the Tawheed of Lordship, the unity of Lordship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned earlier, when we were speaking about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was no nation who denied the existence of Allah. Also, there was no nation who collectively denied the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why there is not a single verse in Quran which shows that a messenger came to call his nation to believe in Allah's Lordship, or to admit to Allah's Lordship, or to say that Allah is the creator. No. Quran says otherwise. It says that the messengers came to the people and told them, since you believe in the Lordship of Allah, then you have to believe in his worship. Since you unify Allah in Lordship, then you have to unify him in worship. This is clear in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha an-nasu ubudu rabbakum. Okay. O people, worship your Lord. Meaning, you admit that Allah is the Lord. So why not admit that he is the only one who deserves worship? Worship your Lord. Meaning, worship him alone, just like you believe that he is the only Lord. And this is very clear in Quran, that if you were to ask them who created the heavens and earth, they would say Allah. Who is the Lord of the great throne? They would say Allah. Who is the one who runs the affairs of everything? They would say Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in their hearts. Therefore, Allah did not say, they are lying to you, O Muhammad, by saying it's Allah. Or they are not telling the truth. No. Allah knows what's in their heart. Even Fir'aun, Allah told Musa alayhi salam, when you go to Fir'aun, tell him, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ يَا فِرْعَوْنَ مَا أَنْزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَصَائِرِ. That you know, Fir'aun, you know that those signs which you have seen were not revealed except from the Lord of the universe, the Lord of heavens and earth. So who told Musa of what Fir'aun knows? Allah. Allah knows what's in Fir'aun's heart, that he does not deny his lordship. Fir'aun did not deny Allah's lordship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Fir'aun and the other mushriks before him, جحدوا بها واستيقنتها أنفسهم ظلما وعلوا. They denied it by verbally, while inside their hearts they firmly knew that Allah is the Lord. وجحدوا بها واستيقنتها أنفسهم. Therefore, the mushriks before, whether the Arabs or the nations before them, they did not deny collectively the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the fact that Allah is the ruler, that he is the only one whom we should take orders from, they did not deny it. The Arab mushriks, they thought that what they have inherited from their fathers and ancestors is the religion of Allah. So they did not deny that the ruling should be to Allah, but they thought that what they have inherited is what Allah has ruled with. So whenever Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell them this is haram, they would say, we have not inherited this from our fathers, meaning that this is not from the religion of Allah. They thought that what they have inherited is the religion of Allah, and that they are going by the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we go back again to the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is part of our faith in Allah, and if it is part of tawheed, as I mentioned. And the faith in Allah's lordship means that Allah is the owner of everything, the creator of everything, the provider, the sustainer, the ruler, the one who in whose hands is the guidance and the misguidance, يعني the benefit and harm, all the benefit and all the harm is in his hands alone. The fact that all the order is from him, all the legislation is from him. No one can declare something halal or haram other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can declare something haram which Allah made halal. No one can declare something halal that Allah made haram. Anyone who does this means that he is setting up rivals with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Jews and Christians, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. Jews and Christians, they have taken their scholars, their rabbis and monks, they have set them up rivals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was a Christian priest before becoming a Muslim, Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i, Adi, the son of Hatim al-Ta'i, the well-known in history for his generosity, Hatim al-Ta'i. He did not become a Muslim, of course, Hatim al-Ta'i, but Adi was a priest, Christian priest. And later on, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to declare his Islam, he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, reciting this verse, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. So Adi, with his short thinking or short knowledge about Tawheed and about the faith in Allah, even though he was a priest, his thinking about Tawheed was short. Just like now, the priests, whatever. So Adi said, O Messenger of Allah, we were not worshipping them, thinking that worship is only to prostrate for them or to supplicate to them or something like that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed out to him what is important. He said, were not they, meaning your scholars, haram things halal for you, and you were accepting that and following them, and making haram things halal for you, and you were following them? He said, So he said, that is worshipping them. تِلْكَ عِبَادَتُكُمْ إِيَّا. That is worshipping them. This is worship. For you to accept them as sources of legislation, this is worshipping them, because this is considering them gods. And for you to take your judgments to them, this is worship. You see? Because hakimiyya or rulership has two folds. One fold regarding the action of Allah, the fact that Allah is the only authority. Allah is the only ruler. He rules. He makes halal. He makes haram. Okay? This is one thing. The other fault is regarding our actions. You see? What are worships? We supplicate to Allah. We pray to Allah and so on. We take our rule to Allah. We take our judgments to Allah, to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our actions to obey Allah, our actions to take our rules to Allah, right? Therefore, hakimiyya falls under lordship, because hukum is the action of Allah alone. Hakimiyya falls under worship, because tahakum, which is our action, and ta'ah, obedience, which is our action, falls under this. You see? Now, this is regarding the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must, when we give da'wah to tawheed, we must emphasize all this. All this and equally. Yani, we should not take other parts of tawheed lightly. This is an ignorance, a deep ignorance. Like those who say, you don't have to tell people that يعني, Allah is the only one who benefits and harms and this and this and this. You see? Or you don't have to tell people that you cannot supplicate to the saints. You have to supplicate to him only. Or you cannot sacrifice animals for the saints and something like this. You don't have to tell them this. First, you have to tell them that. What is that? This is Tawheed. What comes before Tawheed? What precedes Tawheed? You see? Someone who declared to be a Sunni or a Salafi, whatever, he wrote a book regarding this. And he attributed his way to the prophets. He called it Manhajul Anbiya fi al-Da'wa ila Allah. The path of prophets in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you look at his book, he emphasizes lordship. He emphasizes rulership, obedience. But when you look in Quran, you find that what is emphasized is worship. اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. So there is a vast difference, like the difference between heavens and earth, between the way of the prophets, the real way, and what this man is showing to be the prophet's way. What he is showing to be the prophet's way is rustling the rulers. Rustling the rulers. Tawheed is rustling the rulers. You see, to come and start with the ruler. And to ask people, take their rules to Allah and His Messenger. Okay. This is good, but this is not Tawheed. This is part of Tawheed. You see? You either call to Tawheed in the comprehensive way, or you are not a caller to Tawheed. No matter what you think of yourself. Because if you call people to rulership and they abide by it, they are not Muslims. Not Muslims. Until they worship Allah only. You see? Yani, they might agree with you in principle. They agree. All the Muslims agree. Even the rulers nowadays. If you tell them Allah is the only ruler, they say yes. You see? They don't say no. Because they think they are Muslims, and they would never say no. You see? But this is not the way. You see? So lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is important. And it is very important. And sometimes you can start with it instead of starting with the tawheed of worship. When you are calling atheists. Atheists who deny the lordship of Allah. Who say Allah is not the creator. Those people, you start with them with lordship. No problem. You see? But they are few people, you see. In America, the most corrupt country, I remember 20 years ago, Times magazine put some kind of statistics. They said 99% or 98% of the people believe in God in this country, you see. And those people are what? Fornicators. They deal with usury. You know, they commit all kinds of things which are against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they think that they believe in God. Yani, they believe in His existence. They don't deny His existence. Okay. So this is not enough to become a Muslim. You are far away from becoming a Muslim just by believing in His existence. To become a Muslim, you have to establish Tawheed. To establish Tawheed, you have to establish worshipping Allah alone and not setting up rivals with Allah. And to call to Islam is to call to Tawheed. And to call to Tawheed is to call to worshipping Allah alone. Why? Because if people admit the worship for Allah alone, then they don't need the other aspects. They don't need that you call them to other aspects. That's already included. Why are they worshipping Allah alone? Because they believe in His Lordship and because they believe that He has the divine attributes. Otherwise, they would not worship Him alone. You see? So that's why there is a statement which is made by the scholars. They say, توحيد الألوهية, the unity of worshipping Allah, the monotheism of worshipping Allah, this includes the other two types, the lordship and the names and attributes. Because if someone worships Allah alone, then he must be admitting to the other two kinds. Otherwise, he would not be worshipping Allah alone. But not the opposite. Not the opposite. Someone could be believing in the lordship of Allah and His names and attributes, His perfection, but not worshipping Allah alone due to His ignorance. Just like the Arab pagans, they admitted to the lordship of Allah, that Allah is the only Lord. They admitted to the names and attributes of Allah, even the throne of Allah, They admitted to all that. But their disbelief came from not worshipping Allah alone. You see, worshipping angels and pious people by making them means to Allah, channels, you see. So this is regarding the faith in the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third aspect is the faith in Allah's names and attributes. The third aspect of our faith in Allah, which is the second aspect of Tawheed. The names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that whatever Allah has attributed to himself in his book, whatever Allah has named himself with in the book, and whatever the messenger attributed to Allah, and whatever the messenger named Allah, then this is the only source that we can believe in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah, yani, to us is unseen. And ghaib, matter of unseen. And matters of unseen cannot come except by revelation. Whatever knowledge regarding the unseen must come through revelation. Therefore, this is the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The innovators, like the Ash'aris, the Maturidis, who compose many schools nowadays in India, in Egypt, and everywhere, they have a deviant way. They believe that Allah's names and attributes should be known by thoughts, by logic. And the Quran and Sunnah is not the source, because they believe that if we take the names and attributes from Quran, then we will deviate, they say. We will become resembling Allah to his creatures, they say. So they say we cannot take the verses regarding the attributes of Allah literally. We cannot take the hadith literally, you see. We have to give them suitable meanings from ourselves, you see. Or at least if we don't give them meanings, we don't take them literally. So they agree that they should not be taken literally, but they disagree whether to give them a substitute meaning or not, you see. This is the way of the innovators nowadays. There was a group before which outright denied the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which were Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila. Now we don't have such a group. Now we have groups which claim that they believe in names and attributes, but then when you tell them, show us your way, you find that they deny more than 90% of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than 90%, you see. So this is, of course, denying more than 90% of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a big deviation. A'udhu billah. It's a big deviation. And the reason why we don't declare them kafirs is because they generally believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in his names and attributes and in his lordship and his worship. But they have some misconceptions. They have some misconceptions. They want to glorify Allah, but they choose the wrong way to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Ahl Sunnah do not consider them to be out of Islam. They consider them to be from Islam, but they consider them to be innovators. So they are not from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Unlike what many people nowadays like to think, because they want to unite the Muslims as they claim, so they say all are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. No, they are not Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is not an easy issue. This is an issue of Tawheed. If someone deviates in it, and instead of going by the Quran and Sunnah, he chooses to go otherwise, then he is out of Ahl Sunnah. This is not the way of Ahl Sunnah. You can declare him to be an innovator, no problem. But if he abides by Quran and Sunnah generally, and declares his source to be Quran and Sunnah in Aqidah and in all other things, but he makes some mistakes, few mistakes in this issue, then we can consider him to be Ahl Sunnah, but he has those mistakes which should be warned against. So there is a difference between someone who has taken his chosen his methodology not to take the names and attributes from Quran and Sunnah directly. He is an innovator. And between someone who says Quran and Sunnah is our source in everything, even in names and attributes. And then he, in some attributes, he does not approve them as he should because of his trust in those sheikhs whom he learned from them or something like this. He thought that they were not going against the Quran and Sunnah. Then he has made a mistake, definitely, but he cannot be declared to be an innovator for this. Now, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are based on three fundamentals. The first fundamental is the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the foundation of our faith in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The glorification of Allah. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most glorified from any deficiency. He has no deficiency. No deficiency can attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. This is the first fundamental. The second fundamental is to say clearly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not similar to his creatures in any attribute. To deny all kind of resemblance and to say that the knowledge of Allah is not like the knowledge of the creature, and the hands of Allah are not like the hands of the creature, and the face of Allah is not like the face of the creature, and the mercy, and so on. This is the second fundamental. The third fundamental, which is very important also, is to cut all hopes in regards to knowing how the attributes of Allah are. You see, you should have no hope in that. You can in no way imagine how Allah's hands are. You can in no way imagine his face. You can in no way imagine his knowledge. You cannot say in detail what is Allah's mercy, what is Allah's... You believe that he has great mercy, just like he said in his book. You believe what Allah said about himself, but without going into how, without imagining how, with cutting all hopes in how. And this does not mean that you don't know the meaning. You know the meaning. The hands are real hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that suit his glory, which are not like our hands, and we cannot imagine them, and we cannot resemble them to the creature's hands. And the fact that you must distinguish between the how and the meaning, this has been emphasized in Quran first, and in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is like what Imam Malik rahimahullah said when he was asked about the rising of Allah upon the throne, Ar-Rahman wa al-Arsh istawa. He said, Al-Istiwa'u ghayru majhul. This is the meaning. The meaning of istiwa is known. It's not vague. Okay. Then he said, Wal-Imanu bihi wajib. To have faith in it is an obligation because it's mentioned in Quran. Not only mentioned once, 7 times. Okay. Then he said, وَالْكَيْفُ غَيْرُ مَعْقُولٌ. But how is unknown. We cannot go in detail about it. We don't know it. So he made a difference between the meaning and the how. والسؤال عنه بدا. To ask about how is an innovation. You see? To ask about how the hands of Allah, how is his rising upon the throne, how is his descendants every night to the lower heaven. To ask about the how, this is an innovation. Okay? No one of the companions asked about how. And no one should ask how. And Allah said in Quran, لا يحيطون به علما. They cannot comprehend him by their knowledge. You cannot comprehend his knowledge. You cannot comprehend his mercy. You cannot comprehend his hands. You cannot comprehend his wisdom. Okay, we know he has a wisdom. We believe he has a wisdom. We cannot comprehend it. Just like we believe that he exists, in a similar way, we believe that his attributes exist. Just like we don't know the details of his essence, we don't know the details of his attributes. As simple as that. Because the attributes follow the essence. You see, if someone says, how is the mercy of Allah? We tell him, you answer us first, how is Allah himself, how is his essence? And we'll answer you, how is his mercy? Of course, he cannot answer. You see? Why? Because there is nothing mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah about how is Allah's essence. We don't have it. You see? We have his attributes. We believe in them. And we don't have in Quran and Sunnah how is this attribute or that attribute. We don't have details about it. Okay? I can put up in detail how the hands of Brother Nadim is. I see it, so I can put up in detail and write about it and all that. But he's a creature like me, a human like me. If someone tells me about a strange animal living somewhere in the North Pole or somewhere, he says, but it has hands. Those hands, I cannot describe them to you because they are very strange, you know. And this is a creature like me, you see. And he cannot describe the hands of a creature to me. So how about the Creator? When Allah says he has hands, how could we jump and imagine a creature's hand? You see? I cannot imagine this creature's hands in the North Pole because it's very strange and he cannot describe it for me even though he saw it. And no one saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the prophets, even the messengers, even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has no example amongst his creatures. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There is nothing like unto him. You see. Therefore, those who deviated from the true path, their main disease, the root of the evil, is the disease of resemblance in their hearts. When they hear بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ The hands of Allah are extended. What comes to their heart, what's running through their minds, in their hearts, is that if we say real hands, then it's like our hands. They are imagining, you see. But the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, no imagination, no resemblance. But we have to have faith in Allah's hands. Just like Allah said, in Allah's fingers. Just like the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned. In Allah's mercy, in Allah's rising upon the throne, and so on. All the attributes. Laughing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ has mentioned it in Sahih al-Bukhari and other books. We believe in it. That Allah laughs. But we don't imagine his laughing or his laughing or his laughing. No. and so on. This is the way of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
This is the end of the second lecture on the faith in Allah.
هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ.